James 1, 17 through 27.
Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Every good gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from God the Father, the Creator of heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. God chose to give us birth by His true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop of the harvest of everything that God has created. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the very word God has planted deep within you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not hearers only who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, they walk away, and they immediately forget what they looked like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget. They put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in all that they do. If those who claim God's devotion don't control what they say, then they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties, and to keep the world from contaminating us. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A father and son were not communicating very well. And the father said, "Son, give me time. You're going to have to talk more slowly." And the young son said, "Daddy, give me more time. I can talk more slowly, but you're going to have to listen slowly." There are two integral parts of communication. It's say what you mean and mean what you say. If we slow down to talk, and this is sometimes challenging for preachers, then we'll be more likely to fulfill both. Think about what you want to say, and then to say what you were thinking about and what you mean to say. How important it is when people listen so little, when they listen to us. It's an awesome task to be the preacher. It's important to say what we mean. All of us, when we have someone listening, especially a young one, it's important to say what we mean. Jesus said, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will render account for every careless word that you have uttered." Now that's scary for preachers. The Apostle Paul admonished Timothy, his brother, "Avoid godless chatter and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." We need to control the tongue, he said. "Discipline the tongue by being slow to talk and say what you mean." There's too much at stake in our relationships not to say what we mean, or worse, to say careless things that we don't mean. Disciplining our tongue by being slow to speak can have a second possible outcome. Not only will we say what we will mean what we say. If we have put our work and our life into it, and our prayer time into it, that means we're putting feet to our prayers. And that's bound to be an improvement. And trust will grow. Someone has said rightly that it's easier to believe than to become. That means it's easier to talk about Jesus than it is to follow Jesus. It's easier to discuss love than it is to truly share the depths of love with another person. And it's easier to make promises than it is to keep them. All those are proof that we're human. We are to believe and become. And know that we are becoming more accountable for what we say we believe. Believing is about words, though, while becoming is about actions. Big difference. It's one thing to say what we believe, but it's another to say what we do and how we live out those beliefs or live out that faith. Both are vital and can be prophetic. Those are good words about putting faith into action and putting what we believe into what we do. In creation, God spoke the words. That's dramatic. God spoke the words and things came to be. New things. Things that had never been before. That's why we call it creation. Those words were powerful. Later on, Jesus spoke to the sky and said, "Peace, be still," and the storm calmed. Those words were powerful and still are when we pray them in our lives. There's a wonderful song called "The Peace Speaker." And it says, "I trust the Peace Speaker, for He knows me by name." And that one can speak peace into our lives, into our hearts. God gives us the ability to say things that matter as well. Being and becoming are connected. Those words are concrete verbs that change who we are and show how faith and works are related. How faith becomes works. Because see, faith is in that realm of mental and spiritual. And if it's intact, then it grows into action, which is very physical. So faith and works are both vitally important. Our faith can turn into works or can become things that make a difference, works in the real world. We can talk a lot about honesty and generosity in our commitment to Christ, but when decisions have to be made and that action is called for, then that's where we prove what we really meant to say and whether we really meant it or not, because words matter. You heard the reading from James, the 10th and the 11th and the 12th verses. Say, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so, it says. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish water? Can a fig tree yield olives or a grapevine yield figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. So, believing, if it is effective, will turn into action. It will bear fruit. We should be careful what we believe. We should be careful what we claim and proclaim in prayer and in conversation, because words matter. The condition of your soul will become clear, and the condition of your personality can become clear in your words. It'll all show up in the harvest when things really matter. Just as sure as this is true with our physical health, you know, you become what you eat and how you exercise. It's also true with our minds. As a person thinks in his heart, so he is, the proverb says. Words are prophetic. Words make a difference. Words matter. It's a very clear picture. Our actions prophetically determine our outcome, whatever we meant to say. Mark 7, 14 and 15 from our gospel lesson today says, "Then Jesus called the crowd again and said, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, it is the things that come out of the person that contaminate the person.'" Words matter. Words matter. We have an awesome power to use language to communicate and to create. Simple words. We had a wedding here the first weekend of August. A wedding always illustrates this prophetic circle where words become real. Some of the simplest and smallest words in all English: "I do." Only three letters total. And yet, the most profound of meaning. Words matter. Intentions make a difference. Words turn our thoughts into action, our desires into reality. We better be careful what we desire and what we ask for, because we just might get it. Communication isn't easy under the best of circumstances. And a lot of times when there are problems in relationships, in marriages, in homes, even in classrooms, it's blamed on poor communication. That just tells you how important communicating is and how vital it is, how effective it is. It has the ability to create or destroy. It has a chance to make a difference. I've shared with you before a prayer that I came across recently, but it's worth coming to mind again here today. It goes like this: "Lord, make my words sweet and tender, for tomorrow I may have to eat them." That's a good thing to live by. It helps us to be watchful about what we say, because what we say matters. We've all had that experience of words coming back to haunt us. We need to think before we talk. It's good advice, but too many of us stop short there just giving the advice. We need to hear it and apply that advice as well. In James, salvation is where you both talk like Jesus and walk like Jesus. Because, see, there's a connection between the words and the deeds. If we talk like Jesus, we better back it up with action, with feet on the ground, walking, with action that matters and is consistent with our thinking. James emphasizes the practical results when a person or a congregation dares to obey the one who said, "Follow me." Follow is definitely an action word. That's a place where the rubber meets the road, where faith turns into action. This place, the church and its people, make a difference in our community. Through feeding people, through school supplies, through generous giving, through reading with children, and through loving all of our kids and our youth. Yesterday I went to an evangelism workshop at Grace UMC in Frisco. My brother pastor there, Billy Eccles Richter, and Pastor Tommy Brummett, who is from First UMC in McKinney. taught us that in the sense of evangelism, and that is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the community of faith, what one says matters little until the world sees what that one does. Words to be validated must come forward into action. Does that seem too judgmental? It is. But that's the way the world looks at Christian people. That's the way it is. We're judged by our fruits. Not just what we say, but what we say that comes true and that gets backed up with action and reality. Maybe that's why we like the song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Not just because we say it, but because we show it and we make a difference. And that love must be the kind of love that bears witness to the love of Christ in the world and makes a difference for Christ. It has to be the kind of love that puts others first, even as we put Jesus first. It impacts everything that we do in the church, whether we talk about hospitality or service or welcoming people or sacrifice, whatever language we use, even just seeing things from the perspective of the family or individual takes a generous spirit. It might mean giving up your seat for a guest who has come in and wants to sit on your row. It might mean sitting in the middle of the row to begin with and leaving the end open for a guest. That's not going to be such a big deal at the 8:45 service, probably. But wouldn't that be nice if it was? It might mean speaking the word of welcome first instead of waiting for someone else to speak to you, even if that's not quite your style. It might mean working extra hard to make a smile, even if your face does not just naturally start out that way early in the morning. Verse 21 that we read says, "Set aside any growth of wickedness and welcome the word that is planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you." And that is the word that we pass on to others. So what we say matters. If we who claim devotion to God don't control what we say, then we're misleading ourselves. Like a tiny bridle in the mouth of a horse, so the words that come out of our mouths can guide us, can guide our actions, and describe the condition of the fruit that we bear. Words matter. And the smallest of words make a difference. I'm not just talking about avoiding bad language, although that's probably a good idea. That's a whole other subject, really. One which I care about generally and greatly. I barely watch movies at all because of the volume of bad language these days. But that's really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using positive language, constructive words that build things, build attitudes, build biases and systems. Words that define relationships. James says that words can be the weeds of wickedness. The antidote to these weeds of wickedness, the antidote is the powerful implanted word of God. The measure of hospitality is found in doing God's word daily. In doing God's word daily. What seeds do you nourish in your life? What crops, what words do you water and fertilize and expect to grow and grow strong? James says we are to take on the character of God, not the character of the world, which does not love God or follow in God's way. James's ethic is love God and love neighbor. One judgment that's often heard in today's world is that someone's words and actions don't match up. Hypocrite comes to mind. However, the label hypocrite is almost always used to describe someone else. This morning, I invite you to bring your words to God. Words of praise. Before you say the words that you think to say, let God judge your words, your harvest. And ask God to help your harvest bear more good fruit. If you are ready, meet me at the altar this morning, and I'd be willing to hear your confession, or your prayer, or to pray with you, which would be my privilege, or to receive your promise of membership if you're ready to join this congregation. The altar is open. When will your words and your harvest honor God and bring hope to those around you? You're the one who can answer that. Words are seeds. And your harvest depends exactly on what you plant.